Hi, and welcome to Plants and Shit. My name's Tim Harper, I'm a landscape designer, and I run a plant and coffee shop in Adelaide.
Hi, and I'm Stephen Reed. I'm a landscape designer, speaker, educator, and sense of place specialist based in the small Victorian town of Macedon. Our podcast is For Creatives by Creatives, and each week Tim and I will be talking plants and shit with artists, designers, and thought leaders from all walks of life.
We want to learn what it is that makes our fellow creators tick and discover the common threads that we share. Hello, Tim here, and welcome to this special edition of Plants and Shit. Today, Stephen and I are going to have a look around the 2019 Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show and talk about a few of our highlights. We hope you enjoy the show.
The highlight for me every year is the Tree and Shrubbies exhibition, because they're an organisation just to basically support their nursery members who grow exactly what it sounds like, trees and shrubs. And so you would expect that their part of the exhibition here would be just showing off their trees and shrubs, but they always create something incredibly special. A few years ago, they created the Legacy Garden, and they basically created a space that felt like it was part of Carlton Gardens, and you couldn't quite work out where Carlton Gardens started and where it finished. And it was definitely hands down the best garden that year. So this year they've got Green Creations. It's they always have various people to design it, and it's sponsored by various people. So this year we've got the Victorian Schools Garden Program and Richard Bellamo Landscapes. And the basic, because it's a schools garden program, they've created this really amazing play space using big logs of wood and mounds of plants, and they've used jacarandas in a very weird way, but they look, it's just lovely and amazing. And each year they also somehow find a way of connecting into the existing pond here at the gardens, and this year they've got a little pond that creates a waterfall, and just for 1 week of the year we extend the pond out. And they, through Legacies, they had like this whole creek that flowed into the pond, and this year they've just got a nice lovely pond that flows into the pond. But all these, now Tim, you are allowed to talk, all these really fun, like I'm now doing what's called water play for children, so they can pump water. Can you hear this? So I'm pumping an old-fashioned water pump, and this is things that kids use to start using their imagination and play. There's all these rubber tires that kids can jump on as stepping stones, and it's just a really enchanting space. And I'm quite and just the way, like, there's this variegated privet, which is probably potentially one of the ugliest trees in the whole garden, but every year they seem to make this variegated privet part of, it just becomes a star. And anyway, I'm always slightly overwhelmed by this garden. I think Legacies was a better garden, but this one is up there. It's just really quite amazing. And if I was a kid, I'd be jumping up and down on all of that rubber and the big lumps of wood. Like, it's just quite amazing.
And I think the important change you mentioned to me yesterday is that they've now got a public gate right here.
Yeah.
Because this garden has kind of been hidden in the past.
Yeah.
So now you walk almost straight into it.
Yeah. So next year, like, just come down to the Tree and Shrubbies and just enjoy. It's right up near Nicholson Street. I've just noticed there's a little climbing wall for kids. So there's a coarse tense steel retaining wall, but then below it is just this timber climbing frame, and it's just really quite spectacular.
And the more time you spend here, you find little, not trinkets, but little surprises.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Which you can't see because you're listening. Yeah. But it's a tube of some sort with a glory vine in the top of it.
For some reason this year they decided not to hide their pots, but that's really the only thing I can fault them on. Normally they create a garden that's just perfectly finished, but this year they haven't quite got there. Maybe it was because this is such a challenging site. It's also the biggest site of all the show gardens, so it's always the biggest show garden. And we've got to go, but just come down, particularly next year. It would be lovely to see what they do.
So we've come down to the Tree and Shrub Growers of Victoria Emergent Gardens, and I've run into Robbie, who has designed this beautiful garden. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, basically, it's a French provincial country garden. It's called the Rosé Garden. So I wanted to focus on the colours of rosé wine. So I've really picked out soft pinks, salmons, muted oranges, and a bit of ochre colours as well. And so it features some cloud-pruned olives in the foreground, which are a real highlight.
I was lucky enough to see this under lights, and that they were... It's nice to see it in the daylight because now I can see everything else.
Yeah, you really pick out the colours of the flowers during the day, but at night it looks really good. The structure from the olives and the pencil pines is really beautiful.
Yeah. Now, this section, is this kind of halfway between the student section and...
Yeah.
Where does this sit? Because it's a really cool little...
Well, this is a new category for the show. It's for the Tree and Shrub Growers Association of Victoria. It's called the Emergent Designers. So we're picked from the Achievables last year. And this is kind of a stepping stone, I guess, between the Achievables and then maybe doing a boutique in a year or so.
But this has the amazing backdrop. What a sight.
It actually has a really good sight, so which might prove to be controversial in the future, I don't know.
But oh, what, yeah. If you get this sight or not?
No, well, I think being given such a good sight just 1 year after being a student is... Yeah.
Is that imposter syndrome?
Yeah, that's imposter syndrome. All
right, which is a good thing.
Sorry, I'm just going to borrow the mic. I just also want to congratulate you on your plant choice, because often with these show gardens, because they're all smoke and mirrors,
yes,
they often just mix textures and don't care about where these plants come from.
Yes.
You've got a Mediterranean, French provincial Mediterranean garden, and you've used basically all that kind of plant.
Yeah.
And it works incredibly well. So not only have you got the plant, the colour palette perfect, you've also got the plant choice perfect, because they actually would all grow together in a garden.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's kind of impressive. So,
and who did your stone wall again? Just tell me about your stone wall, just briefly.
That's by Charlie Ledbetter Designs. I couldn't have done that without him. It was hot. It's hard work. I thought I'd be able to do it on my own, but it's a lot harder than I thought.
It's really detailed, but it's subtle, isn't it?
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
No, well done.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
We're going to go. So thank you very much.
Tim and I really enjoy bringing this podcast to you. So don't forget to subscribe and rate, because that helps other people just like you to find us. And of course, if you want to hear more of this podcast, please go to our GoFundMe page, because every little bit counts and it costs a lot of money to sound this tune.
We're now in the main garden, show garden area, show garden alley, whatever we want to call it. And we were just going to pick one garden to speak about in each area, our highlight, but we actually sort of decided that we'll very quickly talk about one or two highlights from each garden, from two or three of the gardens, but only just talk about that highlight. So we're currently in front of Moosa Landscape Architecture, right on the corner. And we just want to a couple of things we can talk about here is the plant palette, which is actually really quite nice. But we can't really go past without talking about the pergola, which looks like it's in a really high wind area. And actually the planting, actually it is really cool. The more I look at it, the more I realize how cool it is.
It could almost be coastal.
That's right. So the planting is colours. Coastal. The planting actually is coastal. Maybe the gum trees aren't and the lily pillies at the back aren't. And definitely the Wallamai pine definitely isn't coastal. But almost all the other plants are, or at least would handle coastal conditions. And then the pergola is a metal pergola that is basically almost like the Doppler effect, where it's sort of wind has looks like it's picked it up and it's blowing it away. And it's just incredibly beautiful. And
really unique.
It's incredibly unique, incredibly beautiful. And I would love to see that in a real garden with plants growing over it, because it would just be incredibly stunning. Now, the one we're going to actually talk about, our highlight, Tim and my highlight, and I'll let Tim talk about this one, but Willy Wildlife Sculptures, and the garden name is called The Third Age. And I'm going to pass you over to Tim to talk about this one.
Okay, designed by Candio, constructed by Semkin. I always find Candio's plant choices just, I really enjoy it. And I can almost spot them because they're really diverse. They mix sort of hard and soft spheres, but then they have lots of flowers. So what we're looking at, it's a small plot, isn't it? It's probably 8 meters by 8 meters, maybe 10 meters. It's a little, I'd call it a little, it could be a garden shed or it could be the back of a small cottage. And it comes out onto this little symmetrical, I want to say cottage garden, but it's not really, the plants aren't really cottage garden. It's got a white picket fence.
That term we learnt yesterday, the new naturalist.
The new naturalist, it is, but in a more of a lot more selections in the garden. It's not big swathes of repeats.
Yeah.
But they always seem to design, like I said, I love their plant choices. The magnolias kind of just soften that, like cream can be really quite harsh on a fence. Magnolias sort of soften that. You don't look at them, but they enhance it. We've got lots of little sculptures. I like the red brickwork. Any red brick gets me excited.
Yeah.
and lots of cool little sculptures and interest everywhere. In a real sense, like any show garden, it's too much because, you know, a show garden, you need to encompass everything in the space. But if you simplified the planting palette into a small cottage garden, it's beautiful. And it would be beautiful all year round.
Yeah. And can I also just say that I've just noticed that the planting palette changes from right to left. And so on the right side, there's a tiny bit of blue, but it's mainly sort of rusty oranges and rusty yellows. And then as you move, and a little bit of white. And then as you move to the right side.
I think you started on the right, so you meant the left.
Sorry, the opposite side, whichever side it is. It sort of moves then to mauves, but just has a little hint of the yellows and the rust colours.
Well, that's that naturalist.
But yeah, I just noticed that even though it looks quite symmetrical, the gradient of colour changes from one side to the next, which is really quite beautiful.
Yeah, and as those flowering perennials die off, you've still got a lot of evergreen form.
Yeah.
And of course the flowers and flower stems on these perennials can be left on over winter.
That's right.
So.
And the other sort of notable mention is the use of sort of quirky bronze sculpture. So it's almost too much. Like there's something in every corner, but because it's all bronze and because it's all got sort of a level of fun, it's actually really nice. So there's a gigantic apple, there's some chickens in the lawn, there's some ducks walking across the other side of the lawn, there's some other ducks that look like they're about to jump into a pond, and then there's a gigantic kangaroo paw with a bird sitting on it, and right in the middle is this lovely sort of water feature with some sort of parrot on the side.
But don't you think, and even without any effort to make it a kid garden, a kid-friendly
garden?
Oh,
this would be much fun.
There's no play equipment, there's nothing to... Yeah. climb on, but there's so much to discover.
Lots of things you can make daisy chains with, lots of things you can, this is like potentially a little girl's garden, like a little girl would love this, but so would I think a little boy, because he'd climb the kangaroo paw for a start.
Yeah, and just one last thing before we move on. The as important as your show garden is, it's how you use the landscape behind, and they've got this beautiful massive tree with a hint of the city behind the other trees. Which we'll take some photos of. So, really well done.
So Yarrowview Nursery have created this really lovely installation. So I would call it more of an art installation and a show garden. It's called Under the Golden Elm. And it's, again, a little bit like what I like about the Tree and Shrubbies displays is that you actually don't know where this starts and Carlton Garden starts. You know, they just merge so beautifully. And they've used the canopy of the tree where it touches the ground. So this beautiful golden elm in the middle of the park hasn't been overly pruned. So they've allowed the branches of the tree to kiss the ground. And so the designer has actually used the branches of the tree as the edge of the garden. Almost like a little living hedge. And what they've done on the outside is just created this woodland garden of foxgloves and grasses and ferns and a little bit of salvia. But right underneath the elm is this cave-like space. So the elm is used as the ceiling, and then they've used offcuts of sleepers to create this like almost Legoland kind of blockwork, but it works so beautifully. You just want to be in there and sit under the tree and hide away from the world. And there's just these little punctures of holes that you can kind of, it's almost solid at first at certain angles, and then you see through these little windows, and so you're by yourself, but then you're not by yourself. And it's incredibly beautiful, incredibly powerful, actually, incredibly powerful and meditative installation. It's just stunning. And I think people will feel differently. So I've spoken to a couple of people that I know, and they felt very uncomfortable with this space because they feel like it's too closed off. And then other people like me just go, oh wow, I just want to spend my day in there, you know, and just sit under the elm. And then contrasting this built dome of timber blocks, there's actually just an open space, like a sort of a glade in the middle of a forest. And there's just simply a picnic basket, couple of glasses of wine, a little bit of fruit, and a bottle of what looks like very cheap champagne. Again, it just gives you that contrast. You can be either out completely open or in this beautiful, beautiful, just absolutely stunning, incredibly simple art installation.
Now, don't you think a lot of people want to take something away for home, and not too many people have this sort of space? But you can take the feel of it home, couldn't you?
The feel of the cave.
Use an existing tree, yeah, and yeah. Almost build a treehouse,
yeah,
feel,
yeah,
on any scale.
And the feel of that sanctuary, or the feel of the refuge. So this is definitely that idea of refuge and having that space in the garden that you can just re-energize and recharge. And anyway, I just because a lot of people probably walk past this and think, oh, it's just the blockwork. That is the garden. It's someone's put a sculpture in the middle of the park.
The planting looks like it's already here.
That's right. Yeah. And then you realise, oh, hang on, actually all these plants are in their pots. They've just been incredibly...
But they're well hidden.
Well hidden
pots. I have not spotted a single pot.
They've just been incredibly well placed, so they look like they've always been here. And the path even looks like it's always been here, because they've just used the elm leaves as a mulch. And so it's exactly what we were talking about yesterday at the symposium that we went to on perennials. The idea that the plants have always been here, and then someone's come in and sort of bulldozed or walked a path through those plants, and that's exactly what this looks like. It's definitely my absolute highlight of this year's Melbourne Flower Show. And also, I think a lot of people will miss this because it's not on any major arterial routes. It's sort of hidden back. And that's the other thing I love about it, that it's an experience that only very few people coming to Mificus are actually going to be able to experience, which is a shame for those that miss it, but that's okay. All right, let's go to the next one.
One of my favourite sections of this whole show is always the Achievable Gardens, because I don't think there's any rules, and the students design without very sponsor-driven gardens. And I'm here with Jess Villani. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Now, tell us about your garden, the Rainforest Nest.
My garden is inspired by the beautiful temperate rainforest that surrounds my home in Marysville. So I very much wanted to create a forest feel to my garden and make it a really inviting place for people.
And equally important is the garden, the backdrop works with it too. You've got the big gum tree and it doesn't just end and it's the city.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I really wanted to sort of mimic that natural forest ecosystem. So the eucalypts here act as the canopy tree, and then we've got the beautiful understory of the plants, the ferns underneath.
Yeah, so do you have a brief when it comes to designing this, or is it very open?
Our brief is basically just to try to create a garden that is achievable for the average inner city gardener.
Yes.
So whilst a rainforest like this might not seem like it can fit in the inner city, I've noticed when I am visiting more and more gardens that they're getting shaded out as the buildings get taller and taller around them. So dealing with shade is an issue that as designers we're constantly having to deal with. So I think it can work in that context.
So you could almost use the find a positive in that shade of the building, that that's a huge tree.
Yes, exactly.
And creating a microclimate.
Yeah, exactly. And you've really, I think my philosophy as a designer is to really work with what nature provides you. So
now quickly tell us about the walling. This caught our eye from a long way away.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this was a fantastic project for me. So I like painting as well, and this was a great chance for me to incorporate my painting with a garden. So I've just painted regular plywood white and made up a beautiful mixture of the earth from my backyard to create the backdrop there. And then these...
So that was that ochre colour was actually like earth?
Yeah. It's the earth from the landscape that inspired this whole garden.
So you can't buy that colour?
Nope. Not unless you come around to my place.
And then you've got these paint... obviously like mixtures of paint that you've used as a...
Yeah, so this is sort of my favourite painting style technique, to just create these really interesting shapes and patterns with the paint and sort of just playing with the paint really.
And it was deliberate that it perfectly matches in with this metal water feature, the colour, wasn't it?
Yes, oh very much
it's
so, yeah.
It
wasn't
decision.
Just a lucky chance.
No, it works.
Yeah.
No, well done, looks beautiful.
Thank you, thanks very much.
Tim and I love bringing you this fabulous content and interesting guests, but we need your support. Please go to gofundme.com/Tim and Stephen. It costs a lot of money to sound this cheap, and every little bit counts.
We're now in the boutique gardens, and we have two that we want to talk about. The first one is very much Palm Spring inspired. And the second one is inspired by basically science. And so we'll talk about the Palm Spring ones first. So who are we standing in front of?
So the garden's name is Breeze, and the designer is Maya Coillard, who I believe works for Mint Pool and Landscape Design. Constructed by Josh Norman Landscapes.
Excellent. So what we're looking at here is basically really lovely soft pastel breeze block that's been used quite creatively, in that the garden is, even though it's square to the path, it's kind of positioned almost on a diagonal. It feels like it's on the diagonal. And so when you look at it from the front, you've got an obscured view. So you have that sense of mystery and wanting to go into the garden. She's also used sort of jute rope as a screen, or a sort of opaque screen. And then she's used all those plants that you would often find in Palm Springs. So really lovely blue succulents and grey foliaged plants and euphorbias and all sorts of things. And then she's interestingly and actually incredibly creatively, she's used this sort of biscuit coloured paver instead of, like, often you would use a darker paver or a grey paver, but she's used this biscuit paver, which is actually incredibly beautiful. And she's got bits of yellow, bits of pink, so lots of pastely sort of colours. And then suddenly she's got this pop of orange from the aloes at the front here. And it just works. I mean, the colour scheme you wouldn't think would work, but somehow she's pulled it together. And
from my point of view, the planting is, you could take this straight home and use it.
Straight home and use it.
Wistringia, Coria alba.
And basically in the same spacing she's used it in. This is actually a real garden.
Yes, it is.
There's some woolly bushes over there that are probably a little bit too close, and maybe the euphorbias. In a real sense.
Yep.
In a real sense. So in this garden, we have to create volume because it's a show garden.
So even the magnolias are probably about right.
Absolutely. So as Tim just said, you can take this straight home. And I kind of want to. This is such a lovely garden. Let's go to the scientific one. So we're now walking along towards the scientific approach show garden, and a garden that's actually got a lot to offer as far as education and learning. It's from a company called Akis Landscape Architecture with Bespoke Landscapes. It's called the Anthropogenic Future. Little disclosure, I know Alistair out of Akis. He's the A and the K in
Name
Akis.
Name drop.
And what we're looking at here is anthropology is the study of us, of human beings. And so anthropogenic, or the Anthropocene, is the idea that we're now moving into a new era. So there's always eras of geology, And we often look at a type of geology and say, okay, that's from this particular era. So there's this new emerging theory that we're now in the Anthropocene era, which is human-related geological change. So in other eras, the idea is that wind erosion, volcanic action, water erosion, all of these things move soils around or create new rocks. And this activity is often really, really slow. And so what we've worked out recently is that human beings are now the biggest force in rock production and rock formation, but also soil moving around. So if you think about a landscape, it might move hundreds and hundreds of tons each year of soil from somewhere else to their gardens. That's much more than what would happen naturally through erosion and deposition. The other thing that's really quite scary about the Anthropocene is the idea that human beings are actually making a new strata of rock, because in 10,000 years, or I don't know the time period, but in quite a few years' time, all those particles that you hear about of plastic in the ocean are actually going to become their own sedimentary rock made out of plastic. And that's kind of freaky. So just like sand particles compress together over time to create a sandstone, we're actually going to be creating plastic stones because of all that sediment sitting in the bottom of our oceans, compacting with the weight of the ocean, the weight of the strata of pressure from above. So this garden has cross sections cut through it with Perspex, and you can see the plastic in the soil strata. And the plastic and rubbish, actually, Alistair and his business partner collected from the Yarra. And he's also used concrete where most people would use rocks. So he's actually broken up concrete, recycled concrete from somewhere else, and used the concrete as stepping stones, used it as retaining walls. And there's just so much in this garden that you know, it's an educational garden. So what I'm really hoping is people come down here, read, or have come down here and read about the anthropogenic future and the Anthropocene in general. If you don't know about it, read up on it, because it's incredibly interesting. And that's where we are at the moment. And we'll have a little bit of a chat to Alistair later, but it won't be part of this podcast.
What were your highlights of this year's show? Send us a direct message at Plants and Shit Podcast.
Okay, so that's it. And just a gentle reminder that Tim had a show garden here a few years ago in the, what's this section called, Tim?
The Landscape Victoria Boutique Gardens.
Landscape Victoria Boutique Gardens. And so that's our wrap up. Have you got any final words?
Just that the weather's turned it on for the final day. But yeah, well done to everybody. There's a lot of things that the homeowner could take home, you know, which is most of the people that come here. They can take a little snapshot home,
yeah,
to their own garden.
Yeah, and Tim's scared to ask me what I think, because he knows I'm going to be a little bit honest. And look, part of what I said last week, we were going to let you know how I feel, and that's why we decided to be really quite positive and just look at our highlights for a couple of reasons. One, because we didn't have time to talk too much about all the gardens, but MIFCA sort of has ebbs and flows, and I think this is a bit of an ebb this year, but that's just my personal opinion. A lot of the gardens seem a little safe, and that's my personal thing
design,
that I like. Yeah, the design seems safe, and I like to come here and be inspired and excited, and I completely understand that these are commercial ventures, that the landscape designers and architects maybe want to get a job out of this, and I completely get that. But you and I, Tim, have mentioned this before, where I have this opinion, and it is just my opinion, that these gardens should be seen as something that's cutting edge, a little bit like Fashion Week. You know, you're not going to wear those clothes, but though that fashion, that couture, is going to lead to something that you will wear, and eventually the ideas at Fashion Week will filter down to Target. And I sort of see these gardens as basically gardens that you can use right now, dig them up, put them straight into someone's backyard, and there's no other than the things we've spoken about. So we've spoken about all the gardens that we think are inspiring gardens, and in some cases, cutting edge gardens, or at least show something about the human spirit and the human personality. And often some years you've got a lot of that, And I think Tim's year we had a bit of that and a few years before that. But this year, look, they're all beautiful and they're all well executed as usual, but that's all I can say. You know, I think it is a little bit of a quiet year this year, but that's my personal preference, because I want people to be really incredibly out there and have pink breeze blocks and have plastic in their landscape and show why plastic, you know, is going to be an issue, not now, but including now, but in the future. You know, these are the ideas that I get excited about, and there just wasn't quite enough of that this year. But anyway, that's my person. And now I'm going to pass over to Tim, because he's actually a very, very nice person compared to me.
Now, my final point, I guess, from someone who's built or designed and built one of the boutiques before, and I'm not talking about one of the boutiques here, there's a couple of other gardens where Show Garden 101 is you never have a pot showing, because we know that all the plants are in pots because they need to go back to the stockist afterwards. It's not hard to put some mulch down. Sometimes the rain and the time of the show, your mulch settles and you can see a bit of pot. All good. When you don't even try to put mulch on the pots, to me that's the difference between a landscape display garden and a home show garden. I'm not talking about anything specific, but to me that lets the show down a little bit.
Yeah.
When you can walk up as a spectator and see it without even moving a plant.
Yeah.
So I'm not an expert, but I just that's my disappointment this year.
Yeah. And again, we've spoken about this before. It really upsets me when I see a pot as well. These are all illusions. They're all smoke and mirrors. And when you see the pot, the illusion is lost. And you look straight at the pot.
Well, it's like the Wizard of Oz.
That's
when
right.
they finally
That's
discover
right.
it's a little That's man right. hiding behind a microphone.
Exactly. Yeah, the wizard is revealed.
Yes. The wizard shouldn't be revealed until tomorrow when they pack up.
That's right.
But overall, yeah, look, I had a good time.
Yeah. And look, I'm not saying any of the actually, this is probably the first year that all the gardens were at a really good standard, except for the pots.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
Visually, there was no duds this year. Often there is at least one dud. This year, there's no complete duds whatsoever, except for far too many pots were visible. But it actually has been a pleasant day. Anyway, we're
All
babbling
right.
now, so let's stop.
So let's go.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of Plants and Shit from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. On next week's podcast, we'll speak to Leah Grant. Leah's an artist, teacher, and mum, and we'll be talking all about collaboration and how it can and can't work. I was lucky enough to collaborate with Leah at my recent Adelaide show garden called Fusion. We'll chat about that and all things creative. See you next week.